here. I'm getting deeper and deeper. I don't know if I'll be able to dig my way out. I mean, I'm down to perceptionalism. Oh my God, it's
Look up page 222 of Finnegan's Wake and a little section on Mick, Nick, and the Maggies.
Oh yes.
About you?
Well, was there a Spaniard in the works? I wonder. Well, Reverend Bob, I wish you could just go on all night.
Your concepts
are so sound. And you are my percept.
Well, I appreciate that. I'll be coming over to your place tonight.
Well...
Okay, I know your address. I'm psychic.
Okay.
You know, I mean, what is the meaning of that image of Bob and Twin Peaks?
All right,
the guy's definitely trisexual.
We'll do what you suggested, but I want the Quaker tradition, you know, with the barrier between the two partners in the bed, and sort of you just held hands between, you know, a good Quaker.
It's called confinement loaf.
Oh, know-it-all. All right, Reverend Bob, good luck to you. Good luck to you all.
Thank you. It's been
a pleasure, and please subscribe to the Academy of Art and Science.
We'll probably give you a show tonight.
Well, then.
Or later.
And much good luck.
Thanks a lot, Nick.
Right then. Ciao.
Okay, Bob. That's it for the show.
Sensible. He's not going to have sex with Bob. He's going to check it out.
Is that it? Kent's not here. Well, let's just go a little longer then.
Kent's nervous.
Where is Kent? I hear Kent's voice somewhere.
You want Skolnick?
You want Skolnick?
Yeah, I got Skolnick.
Right down here.
You got more Skolnick?
No, what do you mean you got Skolnick? It's right here. How could you have it?
Okay, thanks very much, Bob. That's it, I guess.
Wait,
pardon me?
Hey, listen.
No.
Hey. Oh, man. So listen, these people here want to say something.
All right, Bob.
Everybody, one-on-one, move around. Say what you want to say, Andrew. Susan?
We love you, Bob, and we want to go to bed with you.
Yay! Bob has some groupies tonight.
That's beautiful.
Okay, Dave. Just call 585-5827 and give to Bob.
Thank you.
Scott.
I just love Lynn Marcus, and he wouldn't appreciate that.
Yeah. Brought in David Ayer.
Yeah, just like I said, the unity of ever fresh awareness and its field.
Ever the metaphysician, David Ayer. And Heather, dyslexic.
Georg Cantor, the famous mathematician, proved mathematically that some infinities are larger than others.
Heather, wait, let me just stop you there. George Cantor is the hero of Lyndon LaRouche. Did you know that? Yeah. Awesome synchronicity, which we get here at CKLN. Go ahead.
So, call because of that. Call 585-5827 and make a pledge because... Where else can you hear this sort of thing on radio? Nowhere.
And I have one thing to say.
Okay,
the
Bob.
Media Ecological Award goes to Jim Patterson and Tom Third. They are former programmers of CKLN. And what they do, they are substitutes. So they perform on CKLN once every 3 months, whatever. I think that's a fine example of media ecology pioneered by Jim and Tom Third here at CKLN. I recommend all programmers begin to do that so we can get other people on the air here. Everybody rotates at CKLN. We eventually get Bob Ray and everybody having their own show here. And we only can do it if we back off and give other people time, right? And then Gary Fluxgold, I'm sure he has to say something. And Sean. Go ahead, Gary. Gary said it. And you, Sean? Right there.
Bob, you know you're not getting any money on this show? You're not annoying enough. Usually you're annoying, you bother everyone, so be more obnoxious.
We'll do that on
Because the only way you're going to get money is if you're so obnoxious that people give money so you'll shut up.
Okay, we'll take carte blanche. That's our mandate for the next 5 hours on Kent's show.
I think
okay?
he come off the close tonight, though.
Coming up.
Okay.
Mike won't be here. He's such a sweetie, such a pinky, like the James on Twin Peaks. And Laura couldn't handle...
Bob, shut up for just a minute. I think we're up to about 788. But, George, you didn't call back and tell us how much your pledge was, so I can't add it in. I think it was $40,
in
which case we'll be up and over.
Silly, 788.
I know.
788?
Yes, 787. 788, Bob.
780 is 15 and 7 is 22. It's 787. Thanks
okay.
a lot.
Okay.
22 is our total.
Okay, thank you, everyone. Wow. Thank you, everyone, for coming down tonight, by the way. And thank you, Heather, for your pledge. And everyone else, Bob, we'll see you in 2 weeks, I guess.
Halloween, Mike.
Okay, Halloween,
okay.
Yeah.
And we're back to real quality programming, which we do here 50 times,
yeah.
26 times a year.
A little frenetic tonight, but thank you. It was a great total. $800, and that's pretty good for 12 to 2 after midnight.
And the age number 653-1464, the pledge number 585-585.
That's right, because it just keeps going. It's
Mike,
not over
I just
yet.
I want to say I love you.
Bob,
Mike,
I love you, too.
Anytime you want to stay with me, you know, anybody's a problem, come on over.
Okay.
Connie, you'll join in, too, Mike. Okay?
Praise
okay?
Bob.
There's your invitation anytime, Mike.
I'm Michael Dyer.
You're a wonderful person,
Stay tuned
Mike.
For Kent Perry. Till 7 o'clock.
Like a lovely plum.
Cadillac is a quality product.
It means affluency. Is there such a word?
Most people who drive Jaguars have a very good impression about themselves.
They want to indicate to me that they have an appreciation for the finer things in life, own the finer things in life.
The word is image.
Mercedes, I think, means image of quality, image of a standard of
action. I just believe that I will probably find a better quality of merchandise at Sears.
It's about the same, but I just have this image of Folgers in my mind that it's a better car.
Is it status symbol?
Image is the name of the game.
Low and brown. I like the way the bottle looks. I like the little silver thing on the top.
It's
different.
It's
the sound of the underground.
Number one has the image of the affluent area and the area to left.
What makes one car seem so different from the next? One neighborhood so desirable compared to another? Image.
Sherman Skolnick, Citizens Committee to Clean Up the Courts, 9800 Oglesby. The reunification of Germany raises the issue of the Nazi war criminals and the possible rise again of a fascist military state. Two U.S. presidents have been closely linked to Nazi war criminals. First, there is Ronald Reagan, General Electric, and the Nazis. General Electric contributed funds to the rise of Adolf Hitler. During the Second World War, GE's facilities in Nazi Germany were mysteriously not bombed by the Allies. Later, it became evident why this was. In charge of the strategic bombing survey were officials of Prudential Insurance Company, owned by the British royal family. One of the most suppressed subjects is the links of the royal family to the Nazis. The result? There were no shortages of electrical equipment in Nazi Germany during the war. Documents relating to GE's treachery came out during the post-war Nuremberg War Crimes Tribunal. Top officials of General Electric should have been put on trial there and hung as war criminals. A seldom-mentioned book goes into this, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler by Anthony Sutton. After the war, for some 25 years, a movie star, Ronald Reagan, was the well-financed spokesman for General Electric. Reagan traveled around to GE's facilities, promoting a proto-fascist philosophy and the smashing of unions of workers. In 1960, Reagan wrote a letter to Richard Nixon, then running for president against John F. Kennedy. Reagan suggested that JFK, too liberal for Ronnie, should be assassinated if elected. 3 years later, the CIA and the military-industrial complex arranged it. As president, Reagan saw to it that GE was awarded billions of dollars of contracts for military goods, promoting another war. Treasonous General Electric owns NBC Network and is a major advertiser on the other networks, as well as public TV, such as Channel 11 in Chicago. The Reagan administration saw the proliferation of Federal Emergency Management Agency, which has plans for junking the U.S. Constitution and ruling the nation Hitler style. The U.S. space program, run by Nazi war criminals, flourished under Reagan. Hitler's rocket experts found a home in the United States. Under the Nazis, they had operated buzz bomb factories where slave labor was worked and starved to death. While president, Reagan went to honor a Gestapo officer's cemetery at Bitburg. And then there is George Bush. In 1988, Bush's campaign for president was riddled with ethnic Nazis, who were leaders of the National Republican Heritage Groups Council. Executive director was Roddy Slavov, part of the Bulgarian National Front, formed after World War II by veterans of the Nazi Bulgarian Legion. Slavov was appointed by Bush to chair the Bulgarians for Bush. Another council leader was Nicholas Nazarenko, an officer in a Nazi Cossack SS division. Another council leader, Phil Guarino, is an honorary member of Italy's fascist P2 conspiracy, a friend of Lucio Gelli, the fugitive bank swindler invited by Guarino to attend Reagan's first inauguration. More about George Bush's Nazi cronies is in the book Inside the League by Scott Anderson and John Lee Anderson. Just another story suppressed by the liars and whores of the press. 731-1100 is our main message.
And that, of course, was Sherman Skolnick on CKLN 88.1. It's 2:13 on this annual fundraising edition of Club 22. And with me is, of course, J.R. Bob Dobbs. And, well, I did have a really very special guest tonight, but that was Karen Carpenter, but I was unable to dig her up. You know how it is. I know it's an old joke, but sometimes you just have to do these things. Ooh, geez, silence. Ooh, bad joke. That was bad. Nobody laughing. That's terrible. I'm looking for about $500 tonight, and to help me get there, where the hell is that sheet gone, Shay?
It's here. Hold on.
Oh, you stole my sheet? No, no, my personal piece of paper. It's around here.
There it is.
I'm losing my notes. Yes, I'm losing my notes. I don't remember what I have. And to basically help me get to that wonderful $500 pledge $500 mark, I'm giving away for $22 the John Judge Don't Just Say No to the War on Drugs tape, the Garrett Dean, that's Bob's personal holy office, any of the three Bob tapes, the Bob Dogma, Fragments of Bob, and Bob's third LP, the Best of Sherman Skolnick from 1989. And for $40, I'm going to let you wander away from here with the cassette copy of Plunderphonics. We will also throw in the Mighty CKLN t-shirt. For $60, you get to take home the Excess Conference, the Future of Toronto and the Conspiracy Since 1400, and or the Dr. Beter interview, and that does include a Mighty CKLN sweatshirt. For $80, I'm giving away, at great personal expense, I might add, the Who's Forgotten Furry Lint, which also includes a sweatshirt. And, whoa, there we are. My list. See, what else do we have here? We've got the package here. For $100, Who's Forgotten Furry Lint and any of the Bob tapes, Sherman Skolnick, John Judge, or the Garrett Dean, and both a sweatshirt and a t-shirt. So you will want to pledge now before I go broke. And what you have to do, we're going for $500. That number for you to call is 585-5827. And we're going to get to some music now, because I'm not too sure that you want to listen to me. You'd probably rather listen to music. We're going to listen to three songs by Bebop Deluxe, Blue is a Jewel, Music in Dreamland, and Shine. And this particular set's going out to Sam Fox and the boys at the Hog. This is Bebop Deluxe, so you want to get those phones ringing. And see, there they go. I love this already. It's I have a musical question. People, can you answer me this? If you shoot a mime, do you need a silencer?
There's a crystal at the heart of every tear. On reflection, we heard reflection clear, and she grew as the jewel.
Yeah, it looks like you're dying of some disease, so I've been avoiding that whole thing.
Well, go on those big red
buttons.
There's one now.
And,
There's too darn much stuff to give away here. I'm going to go broke is what I'm going to do. But it's all for a good cause, so come on, call in at 585-5827. That's KCKLN on the air for yet another year.
But who's bringing a message to the East Coast that people really need to hear?
What is that?
It's unfortunate that the message is too advanced for the West Coast.
That's the problem.
Yes.
The warts on my nose, does that look like the Siamese twins being separated or something?
No, if you hadn't turned more this way, I wouldn't have even seen it.
Really?
You know,
yeah,
so
look,
you know, just go like that.
But anyway, here it's ironic that I waited my whole life for women.
Yeah.
And then I got married to be anything because I really have no noticeable skills. You know, you guys probably in the back of your mind said, okay, I know I've got talent. It's just a matter of, I never believed in myself, and I never believed I'd have talent. Now that I have achieved some success, although I love my wife and kids, don't get me wrong, it just would be nice to take advantage once in a while of my position where women are constantly throwing themselves at me.
Throwing themselves at you?
Yeah, Esperanza.
Oh, yeah.
Do you lie?
They really do. No, they do.
Yeah. Warts and all?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they don't care anymore.
You bastard. You really are, man.
They can see past that.
Well, you know, you have a philosophical decision to make, that's all.
Hey, Frank, what about you? You want to play a song on the guitar? Come on, man. Why don't you ever do that kind of thing? What are you, above that?
No, I'm just not good enough. You know, I haven't played it since December 23rd, 1984. I'm trying to learn how to play the guitar again.
Are you serious?
It's true.
Dweezil's a very good guitar.
He sure definitely is.
He is. He's playing great. Yeah, he's playing great.
He's for real.
Yeah, and not only that, he's good looking. He's getting laid every 10 minutes. And on top of that, he's talented.
What did you do at the moment you conceived him?
Yeah,
you know,
what did you do?
You gotta tell people what you did.
Yeah, because I'll tell you, your son annoys the hell out of me.
You know, other people would like to try this. You know how they're trying to choose the sex? Well,
you mean the right position?
He's a cocky 16-year-old bastard is what he is. I can't stand him. I mean, Molly Ringwald.
He's
even
bright and personable.
Does he bring, like, Molly over to the house and you go,
Well, you know, Molly has been over to the house, but I don't go,
Yeah, right. What are you? You're a man. Of course you could do. You probably look her over.
She's not my type.
Really? She's not?
No.
What about that Kate Wagner? Tell me you wouldn't want
to
go back.
Not my type. Actually,
really?
I think Dweezil's taste in women is interesting but unique.
I think he's right on track.
Really?
Yeah, I would definitely.
He's going to bring him home to Howard's house.
If you could bring him over to my house. Okay. I hope my son someday brings home some women to me. I'm having a son, so bring home some women to me. I would really enjoy that. That would be really nice. Son, do you think I could sort of get in on your action once in a while?
Like double date with the same girl?
You could sort of like jump into this whole scene? Something?
On the radio?
Yeah, on the radio. But and what about Amit? I saw him in Us Magazine dating somebody.
Look, the room where I'm working is upstairs. It's on the same floor with Amit's room.
Yeah.
Amit went to the movies last night. I don't know who he went out with.
Yeah.
And over a 3-hour period, the phone in his room with his little answering machine went off 50 times.
Really?
And, you know, this...
Is he in school still, Amit?
Yeah.
Are you making him stay in school?
And nobody's, you know, you can't even do anything about this now, Bob, because I've got control. I've got the slack. I am the overlord. You know, I am the overload.
Hot lighting up.
No, well, we have to have phone calls.
Mike's always working. He's a total bureaucrat. He's in there taping, dubbing, archiving. I can't believe the guy.
We have 6 lights that aren't lit up.
Oh, there they are. Jeez.
Yeah, they're up here, pretty cool things. I had to point them out to me because I was just... I was indulging in Columbia's second highest cash crop and...
pregame nerves. But listen,
yeah, they had to get the caffeine into my system before I could go...
Hey, Ken, let me tell them. You take a person who studied homeopathy for 25 years, then he knows something about acupuncture, and then he gets the brilliant notion to inject the homeopathic remedies into the acupuncture points. That's the root of this AIDS cure. That's how it happened. Now it's more specialized and more refined and more awesome than that. But if you heard me earlier...
No, I was at my other...
I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to the audience.
Oh, well, I was at my slack-filled job that I was previously...
Oh, well, you were late tonight, right? You were at a job?
Of course.
Oh, Sean's got something to say.
Oh, certainly.
Metarcos.
All right.
Let's talk.
Okay, let's talk about this treatment in terms of tetrad. Let's do a tetrad on the treatment.
Ooh. I don't think we have... It's been an environment yet. See, mm-hmm. It has to become an environment. All we know is that it enhances health. It enhances health.
Enhances health.
So what could it obsolesce? Okay, we'll anticipate it.
Well, first of all, it gets under your skin.
Yeah.
Right? So you're... Again, it's total injection, which is the symptomatic of the electric environment. So it's a,
did you know that McLuhan said that? That everybody under the electric environment conditions trying to get under everybody else's skin?
Yeah.
Did you know he said that? Did I tell you that?
Yeah.
So and you're right, yeah.
So
the cure would have to be an injection for the collective conditioning of
because
getting under the skin.
It can be a radiation.
Oh, Bob, I have to interrupt here. Dave, Dave is passing a kidney stone, and we're willing to give that away for $100.
Well, why, Dave? Why are you passing it tonight? Man. Oh,
now, there's somebody that's going through a personal suffering to this station.
Yeah.
And remember, that pledge line is 585-5827.
Now, again, if we don't get any more pledges in about 20 minutes, can we just go back to regular programming and forget the fundraising and just play music and play
for a couple of seconds?
Oh, okay. You're dedicated till 7 o'clock? You're staying here till 7 o'clock?
I'm not getting anywhere near... I can't hear a word you're saying, Bob, because you know why? You see these things?
Oh, yeah.
There they are. They're over here.
Headphones
and I'm just talk. Those are the headphones that are now wrapped around the microphone. Bob's coming in here.
Here comes the big pledge. I can feel it.
Yes, we need that big pledge. It's 585-5827. And we stole them. Because you've got too much darn money, Bob, and you're not giving any to me.
Yeah, Bob said that earlier. He's everybody's friend, but he doesn't trust anybody.
Oh, there's a phone ringing. Now, if we can see if
there's
light. There's that light. We, you know, hey, this could be for the kidney stone.
Yeah. Oh, and Dave's on the phone, too, so.
There's a second phone. Let's just see what else we can do. There we go. We got a whole heck of a lot of phones ringing, but they're just not doing too darn much. There's all right. Great. Dublin.
Yay, Dublin.
Dublin.
How much
for the 90s.
How much is he pledging?
We need... Dublin. Oh,
well, how much is Dublin?
We have a Scott Sibley is donated $80. I'm not sure what he's doing. It's not written down as to what he is going to relieve me of. He's taking everything. So okay, now the only thing left is personal slave.
Maybe we can offer some slack.
Well,
I wonder if Bob
will
be willing to give out some slack.
Well,
tonight.
We'll have to check into that one. We'll have to talk to Bob, see if he's willing to give out just a little bit of slack here.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe even personal consultations with Bob. Bob, but he's
on the phone.
He's talking
now.
To Dublin, but he's doing the phone gig.
Maybe Dublin's going to donate everything.
Yeah.
He gets enough airtime. He should.
Yes, if he had to pay for airtime, Dublin, he'd be owing us like $140,000.
We should have Dublin down here answering the phones for us.
Yeah, unfortunately
him on the air. That should get us money.
Yes, but
it'd
actually
drive everyone
we
nuts. We should.
No.
Yeah, you know that old CTV thing? The guy locks himself out in jail, and they gotta pay to get him out of jail. Well,
oh,
we should put Dublin on the air, and they gotta pay to get him off. And $100,000 will get Dublin off the air.
Yes, $100,000, and we will not put Dublin on the air
right now. He's probably listening. He's going, okay,
screw
money.
It. No, yeah. The heck with you guys. Then just that number, it's 585-5827. So you want to give us those phone calls and all. Oops, my tape ended. We just don't know what we're going to do here.
Dublin,
so we're going to go right into this little compact disc I have sit over here because people are... I'm not sure what people think of this, but here's a little bit of Frank. And guess what? I'm going to talk over every bloody word of it.
You saying this is Frank?
Yes, this is the two main holy offices of Club 22, Frank Zappa and Captain Beefheart.
Oh, yeah.
Bongo.
Well, this isn't... Yes, well, it's Bongo Fury, yes.
Bongo Fury.
And... Ooh, it's Carolina Hardcore Ecstasy.
Talking about Connie.
Yes, they are. All right, we are at...
$232?
All right, I'm going broke. I'm going broke.
For you, kid, that is unbelievable.
Yeah, really. The $232. I'm going for $140,000 tonight. And we have like five lights here that are not illuminated here. Does that mean that there are conspiracy dupes out there?
What about the
Because they are not... They're not illuminated. But we're reversing the Bavarian Illuminati here. This is the Toronto Illuminated.
Oh, and John, you got your little thing that's in there? Hey, Kent, guess who just phoned?
Who called?
Dublin.
Oh, yeah, so what's...
His alibi is he was asleep for the last 4 hours. He missed the show, the Bob show.
Really?
He wants a Bob tape, and he'll list our show. Your show is why he's pledging.
Oh,
so,
good.
We want to tell everybody Dublin did show up eventually.
Yeah, Dublin did show up eventually. Bob, you are on, so I don't have to, you know... But Dublin did show up, and he's giving us his money. And remember, we could charge for airtime here. For the amount of airtime that Dublin's had, $140,000 ought to cover it.
So Dublin, he had an alibi. He missed the show. But I told him we razzed him from 1:45 till about 2, you know.
Yeah.
His name got raked in the coals for not calling in.
Well, I was out in the hallway indulging in some prop at that particular moment.
Important activity here at the church.
Yeah. I'm doing the PR gig. And 14 triple P.
See, why is that ringing and there's no light?
Because nobody's answered the phone yet.
Oh,
phone's ringing.
Phone's ringing.
The Exodus conference,
we're talking,
is gone.
What do you mean they're gone?
Well, I had them up for, I had three up there, but we can add more.
You dubbed them, right?
Yeah. Put another five on. We can got five more of the
Exodus press conference.
The Exodus press conference, the history of the conspiracy, 1400 to the year 2000. You know, that could be another one up there.
Yeah. And, Kent, the phones seem to be quite obnoxious. They're just ringing off. Ringing.
No, that's me. that one's me being obnoxious over top of Frank.
I'm glad I'm not a techie. I never can tell the difference.
Yeah, well, Bob, you have a hard time answering the phone, remember? You know, like, which button do I push?
Yeah, I've never boiled an
Bob
egg.
Bob is a technical clunt.
Yeah, I've never made coffee. I
you
do
don't
know
even
how to
drink
use a toothbrush.
Coffee.
What?
Yeah, but is it an electric toothbrush?
No,
see,
no. I'm not that
electric medium.
No, I wouldn't be able to use that. I don't know how to use an electric toothbrush.
Yeah, this is the electric medium here, Bob, so you have to have an electric toothbrush.
We're talking private Bob here. Talking personal Bob.
Oh, yeah.
Not the electric
personal
Bob.
Personal Bob is a caveman.
Yeah, close to it. The hermit. Look up the tarot card on the hermit and read all about me.
Yeah, and it's got a picture of you on there. Actually, I thought you were the one.
You know, the Toronto Star last week in the Twin Peaks article says that the hermit... Harold Smith, Twin Pizza.
Harold Pizza. I thought you said pizza.
I did. The Harold Smith character, he's nailed as Satan, and he's a hermit.
No, that's me.
I'm a hermit. I'm Bob Satan.
But we could discuss my father, of course, the ever mighty and
your father?
All-powerful Prophet Harold.
Your father?
Yes,
yeah, the Freemason.
The Prophet Harold.
The guy who's trying to get Kent into the Freemasons.
No, I'm trying to get into the Freemasons. I want to infiltrate.
Yeah, you want to infiltrate it.
What? Infiltrate these things. I'm going to get in there. I'm going to go like, well, geez, this is just really darn swell. And can I...
Analyze this guitar solo for us, Kent.
Why?
Just
the guitar solo is brilliant. You know, there's not much you can say about Frank except that he is brilliant. And everybody knows it. Even if they don't play him on the darn radio, it's just too bad. Yep, there's a phone ringing and we got a light.
Here, I'm getting deeper and deeper. I don't know if I'll be able to dig my way out. I mean, I'm down to perceptionalism. Oh, my God, it's
well,
just...
Well, Nick, look up page 222 of Fenning is Awake, and a little section on Mick, Nick, and the Maggies.
Oh,
about
yes.
You.
Well, was there a Spaniard in the works, I wonder? Well, Reverend Bob, I wish you could just go on all night.
We
Your
are.
Concepts are so sound, and you are my percept.
Well,
I mean
appreciate that.
That.
I'll be coming over to your place tonight.
Well...
Hey, I know your address. I'm psychic.
Okay.
You know, I mean, what is the meaning of that image of Bob and Twin Peaks?
All right,
I definitely trisexual.
We'll do what you suggested, but I want the Quaker tradition, you know, with the barrier between the two partners in the bed, and so you just held hands between, you know,
like
a good Quaker.
It's called confinement loaf.
Oh, know-it-all. All right, Reverend Bob, good luck to you. Good luck to you all.
It's been
a pleasure, and please subscribe to the Academy of Art and Science.
And we'll probably give you a show tonight.
Well, very good then.
Or later.
And much good luck.
Thank
you
very much.
Right then. Ciao.
What
okay, Bob. That's it for the show.
Sensible. He's not going to have sex with Bob. He's going to check it out.
Is that it? Okay. Well, let's just go a little longer then.
Kent's nervous.
Where is Kent? I hear Kent's voice somewhere.
You want Skolnick? You want Skolnick?
Yeah, I got
Skolnick. It's right down here.
Where's Skolnick?
No, what do you mean you got Skolnick? It's right here. How could you have it?
Okay, thanks very much, Bob. That's it, I guess.
Wait,
pardon me?
Yeah. Hey, listen. No, no. Hey. Oh, man. So listen,
wow.
These people here want to say something.
All right, Bob.
Everybody want one move and say what you want to say, Andrew.
We love you, Bob, and we want to go to bed with you.
Hey, Bob has some groupies
that's
today.
That's beautiful.
Okay, Dave. Just call 585-5827. Yes, Bob.
Thank you.
Scott, I just love Lynn Marcus, and he wouldn't appreciate that.
Yeah.
Brought in David Ayer. Yeah, just like the unity of ever fresh awareness and its seal. Ever the metaphysician David Ayer and Heather. Dyslexic.
George Cantor, the famous mathematician, proved mathematically that some infinities are larger than others.
Heather, wait, let me just talk to you. George Cantor is a hero of Lyndon LaRue. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Awesome synchronicity. What did we get here at CKLM? Go ahead.
So, call, because of that, call 585-5827 and make a pledge, because where else can you hear this sort of thing on radio? Nowhere.
And I have one thing to say. The Media Ecological Award goes to Jim Patterson and Tom Third. They are former programmers of CKLN, and what they do, they are substitutes. So they perform on CKLN once every 3 months, whatever. I think that's a fine example of media ecology pioneered by Jim and Tom Third here at CKLN. I recommend all programmers begin to do that so we can get other people on the air here. Everybody rotates at CKLN. We eventually get Bob Ray and everybody having their own show here, and we only can do it if we back off and give other people time, right? And then Gary Flux Gold, I'm sure he has to say something. And Sean. Go ahead, Gary. Gary said it. And you, Sean? Right there.
Bob, you know you're not getting any money on this show. You're not annoying enough. Usually you're annoying. You bother everyone, so be more obnoxious.
We'll do that
because the only way we can get money is if you're so obnoxious that people give money so you'll shut up.
Okay, we'll take Kirk Lawrence. That's our mandate for the next 5 hours on Kent's show.
I think
okay?
I'm off the close,
Mike,
though.
Coming up.
Okay.
Mike won't be here. He's such a sweetie, such a pinky, like a James on Twin Peaks. And Laura couldn't handle...
Bob, shut up for just a minute. I think we're on to 788. But George, you didn't call back and tell us how much your pledge was, so I can't add again. I think it was $40.
We don't need
any more. Up and over.
Really, 788.
I know.
788.
Yeah,
787.
788.
788. 15 and 7 is 22. 787. Thank you.
Here, I'm getting deeper and deeper. I don't know if I'll be able to dig my way out. I mean, I'm down to perceptionalism. Oh, my God, it's
well,
just...
Well, Nick, look up page 222 of Fenning is Awake, and a little section on Mick, Nick, and the Maggies.
Oh, yes.
You?
Well, was there a Spaniard in the works, I wonder? Well, Reverend Bob...
...on Mick, Nick, and the Maggies.
Oh,
how
yes.
You?
Well, was there a Spaniard in the works? I wonder. Well, Reverend Bob, I wish you could just go on all night.
We are.
Your concepts are so sound. And you are my percept.
Well,
I
appreciate that. I'll be coming over to your place tonight.
Well...
Hey, I know your address. I'm psychic.
Okay.
You know, I mean, what is the meaning of that image of Bob and Twin Peaks?
All right,
The guy's definitely trisexual.
We'll do what you suggested, but I want the Quaker tradition, you know, with the barrier between the two partners in the bed, and so if you just held hands between, you know,
like
a good Quaker.
It's called confinement loaf.
No. Know it all. All right, Reverend Bob, good luck to you. Good luck to you all.
It's been
a pleasure, and please subscribe to the Academy of Art and Science.
We'll probably give you a show tonight.
Well, very good then.
Or later.
And much good luck.
Thanks a lot, Nick.
Right then. Ciao.
Okay, Bob. That's it for the show.
Sensible. He's not going to have sex with Bob. He's going to check it out.
Is that it? Well, Kent's not here. Well, let's just go a little longer then.
Kent's nervous.
Where is Kent? I hear Kent's voice somewhere.
You want Skolnick? You want Skolnick?
Yeah, I got Skolnick.
Right down here. No, what do you mean you got Skolnick? Just right here. How could you have it?
Okay, thanks very much, Bob. That's it, I guess.
Wait,
pardon me?
Yeah,
Yeah. Hey, listen. No, no. Hey. Oh, man. So listen, wow. These people here want to say something.
All right, all right, Bob.
Everybody, one at one, move around. Say what you want to say, Andrew. Susan.
We love you, Bob, and we want to go to bed with you.
Yay! Bob has some groupies tonight.
That's beautiful.
Okay, Dave. Just call 585-5827 to get to Bob.
Thank you.
Scott.
I just love Lynn Marcus, and he wouldn't appreciate that.
Yeah. Brought in David Ayer.
Yeah, I just want to say the unity of ever fresh awareness and its field.
Ever the metaphysician, David Ayer. And Heather, dyslexic.
George Cantor, the famous mathematician, proved mathematically that some infinities are larger than others.
Heather, wait, let me just stop you there. George Cantor is the hero of Lyndon LaRouche. Did you know that? Yeah. Awesome, awesome synchronicity, which we get here at TKLN. Go ahead.
So, call, because of that, call 585-5827 and make a pledge, because where else can you hear this sort of thing on radio? Nowhere.
And I have one thing to say.
Okay,
the
Bob.
Media Ecological Award goes to Jim Patterson and Tom Third. They are former programmers of CKLN, and what they do, they are substitutes. So they perform on CKLN once every 3 months, whatever. I think that's a fine example of media ecology pioneered by Jim and Tom Third here at CKLN. I recommend all programmers begin to do that so we can get other people on the air here. Everybody rotates at CKLN. We eventually get Bob Ray and everybody having their own show here, and we only can do it if we back off and give other people time, right? And then Gary Fluxgold, I'm sure he has to say something. And Sean. Go ahead, Gary. Gary said it. And you, Sean? Right there.
Bob, you know you're not getting any money on this show? You're not annoying enough. Usually you're annoying, you bother everyone, so be more obnoxious.
Well, do that on
Because the only way you're going to get money is if you're so obnoxious that people give money so you'll shut up.
Okay, we'll take carte blanche. That's our mandate for the next 5 hours on Ken's show.
I think
okay?
You come off the coast tonight, though.
Coming up.